good.
Here we go. So are you ready?
Yes.
Well, Richard, thank you for joining me here on The Score on Cork's 96FM, and congratulations on your book, The People's Wimbledon. I know there's been many books written on Wimbledon over the years, but this is a bit different, isn't it? I mean, it's interesting that you get the views from the past players, journalists and fans, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's really what I wanted to do. There have been a lot of books about Wimbledon, but most of them kind of quite predictable. You know, there's a Wimbledon annual that summarises the tournament. There's occasional history books, which are good. But there haven't been many different books, you know, coming from a different perspective. And hopefully the People's Wimbledon does that. I've been collecting sort of stories and anecdotes from people for about 5 years, and there's over 120 of them in the book.
Yeah, very good. That was obviously very enjoyable for you, going back through, you know, memory lane as such. And I know you've watched so many Wimbledon champions down the years, both men's and women's. And, you know, you might just tell us about some of your favourites who probably feature in the book.
Yeah, well, particularly with this weekend in mind, one of my favourite players of all time is Yvonne Goolagong.
Mm.
And of course, you know, it's well known that Ashley Barty has just won Wimbledon 50 years after Yvonne won for the first time. And I really liked Yvonne because she always smiled. She's very light on her feet. She looked as if she loved every match she played. And to be honest, I think all teenage boys like me were a little bit, you know, in love with her. So
yeah, I was one of them as well, yeah.
well, yeah, you know, she was delightful. And but over the years, you know, I mean, men's and women's tennis has produced some wonderful personalities that I've liked. You know, just to pick out a couple, I really liked Stefan Edberg because he just played beautiful tennis.
Mm.
I liked him a lot. I did go to see all five finals that Bjorn Borg won in the 1970s.
Incredible. He's my favourite, yeah.
Right. You used to be able to queue out overnight and guarantee a ticket for the final. Me and my friends used to do that. So I saw a lot of Borg. But, you know, down the years, it's been very interesting. I liked Goran Ivanisevic, although I didn't particularly like it when he played Pete Sampras because they just used to serve aces at each other all the time.
Mm.
But, you know, and in women's tennis, the era of Navratilova and Evert was wonderful,
yeah.
Of course. You didn't know that they played each other 10 times at Wimbledon, and Martina won 7 of them.
Mm. So just tell us a bit about the book for tennis fans in Ireland, an insight into what the book entails. I know there's a lot of really good photographs in the book, and I'm sure there's a few good stories in there as well.
Yeah, the book is in two parts. It's a big coffee table book, over 300 pages, and it's in two parts. The first part is called Memories of Wimbledon, and that's where I gathered all the stories from individuals. And, you know, there's well-known people, tennis players, but there's also people I met in the queue for people who came into the bookshop. And I used to give out little postcards with the books we sell, and I used to say, have you got a favourite memory of Wimbledon? Please share it with us, you know, and that's how I collected them. And this went on for 2 or 3 years. That's the first part of the book. And each of the memories is given a page or a half page, depending how long it is, and is accompanied by pictures of things like reproductions of tickets and program covers, you know, photographs of the players mentioned in it, that sort of thing. And then the second part of the book, called Wimbledonia, is about collectibles. And that's got chapters about the, you know, paintings, programs, postcards, books, films. And there's a chapter right at the end about the Wimbledon Lawn Tennis Museum, where they very kindly let me do a photo shoot of a lot of their items.
Fabulous. I know Irish tennis fans will be certainly looking forward to getting their hands on that one, especially with Wimbledon on at the moment. And I know you're talking to us, Richard, in this interview from your bookshop, the Wimbledon Gallery. And the excitement is building, obviously, there ahead of today's men's final. But you've been there over 20 years now in the bookshop in Wimbledon?
Yeah, since 1999. And we, you know, before that, we had a mobile bookshop at tennis tournaments for a few years, my wife and I. And people kept saying to us, have you got a shop all year round? And we used to say, well, no, we haven't. But that made us think. And eventually we started this bookshop. You know, it's been fantastic. It's not a great way to get rich, but it is a great way to have interesting days and meet interesting people. You know, we love it.
Mm. Why is Wimbledon so special, Richard?
Well, it's, you know, like there's things that you can't really define, but what I can tell you is that when Wimbledon's on television, I think that it attracts people more than just sports fans. You know, I think people who wouldn't claim to be sports lovers like watching Wimbledon on TV. What then happens is a certain proportion of the people who watch on TV get attracted to actually go to the tournament each year. So, you know, a few thousand new people arrive each year at Wimbledon for the first time. And when they go inside the gates, I think they're just amazed at what they see, because it is nothing like what you see on TV. On TV, you know, it's a bit like watching snooker on TV in a way, isn't it? You know, you see the court, and it's always in the same position, the players rushing about. But when you get to Wimbledon, it's like an incredible, it's like a community. There's all the outside courts, and although they do show more play nowadays from the outside courts, it's still, when you walk through the gates, it's mesmerising. And people invariably, once they've been once, they just get hooked on it and keep coming back.
And the women's final yesterday, we know that a lot of celebrities from around the world and royalty arrive at Wimbledon in centre court. And we saw yesterday, not sure if you saw him, but I'm sure he did. Tom Cruise caused a bit of a stir, didn't he, yesterday?
Yeah, well, there is always somebody at Wimbledon. This year, less so than usual, of course, because of the restrictions. But in a normal year, if you're just even walking around the grounds at Wimbledon, you won't go for more than 5 minutes without seeing a celebrity. And I remember once sitting on an outside court with my friend before play started, and we sat in one place and we saw several well-known people go past, the most well-known of whom was Paul McCartney. And, you know, we were big Beatles fans, and that was the time of Wings, you know, that was decades ago. But if you wanted to just see famous people, Wimbledon is definitely the place to go, because they'll walk right past you every few minutes.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not too long now before the men's singles final at Centre Court. Richard, the excitement is building, obviously. Djokovic has been a phenomenal. He's going to try and equal, obviously, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal's 20 Grand Slams. Do you expect him to do it this afternoon? He's obviously the strong favourite.
Yeah, I think this is truly too close to call, this match. I think that Berrettini is full of confidence, and he's playing an incredible attacking game. So, you know, it could go one of two ways. Either he will really sort of strike out and take a strong lead early on, or the other way it could go is that Djokovic will contain his power for half an hour, three quarters of an hour, and eventually wear him down. But I really think this could go either way. And if I was a betting man, I wouldn't be parting with my money on this one.
Yeah, wise choice, I think. I know that Boris Becker was asked, and he kind of hedged his bets. He didn't commit himself to saying who was the best tennis player of all time. And the commentator then asked, all right, who's the best between Djokovic, Federer and Nadal? Would you have your favourite?
Well, I think that they all have a great claim, but I don't think you should necessarily assume that the greatest player of all time is one of those three, because you have to think about three or four other great players from past years. The problem is, Trevor, as you know, comparing the past with the present is virtually impossible.
Yeah, different equipment and so on.
Exactly, different circumstances, you know, I mean, the Wimbledon champions of the early days only had a life expectancy of about 40 years. You know, people used to die a lot younger then. Laurie Doherty and Reggie Doherty, two of the very early champions, both died before they reached 45, having won Wimbledon several times each. So it's a different world then, and there's all sorts of problems that they had to face. So if they had lived in favourable times like today, who knows what they would have done. But to answer your original question, the one who has to be the greatest for me is Roger Federer. The reason is because I believe greatness is about more than just statistics. I believe it's about the way you play and the way you carry yourself. And I think he's brilliant.
100%. I couldn't agree with you more, actually, because for me, Roger Federer, in the world of sport over, is the greatest role model for me. I just think, as you said, the way he carries himself and never makes excuses and always complimentary to the guy who beats him, even when he lost match point against Djokovic a couple of years back. Great, great, great sportsman indeed. Just before we let you go, Richard, and we can't let you go without talking about the final tonight in Wembley. I tweeted earlier that London is calling in a big way today, isn't it? Because, I mean, a chance for this English team to rewrite the history books and end 55 years of hurt. You were telling me earlier you watched as a kid England winning the World Cup in 1966, and now you can watch the final tonight. It's exciting, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I just hope, and indeed I believe, that England will go out and attack them. England will lose a cagey game, but if England attack them, England could do some damage. The winner will definitely be football. You know, even if England don't make it tonight, they've done wonderfully well in the tournament, and they've started to play the kind of football we all want to see, and that's the most important thing.
Okay, well, it's going to be a special day today, certainly with the Wimbledon final and the Euro final at Wembley. Can't wait for both. And thanks for joining me, and all the best of luck indeed with the book, The People's Wimbledon, and looking forward to flicking over the pages and rolling back the years with some great memories. Thanks for joining us in Cork 96 FM today, Richard.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Cheerio.